Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we can come now to your word. We thank you that you speak to us through your word. And Father, we pray that you please help us to be attentive. Help us to listen to you speak. And help us, O Lord, to apply your word this evening to our lives for your glory and for your name's sake. And we ask this all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So have you considered the realities that we face in this world? Think about these ones that I'm going to mention, a few of them. People spend crazy hours on social media, socializing with one another, rather than spending one-to-one FaceTime with each other in person. People suffer from depression and suicidal thoughts because they are being ostracized or bullied over social media or in public because of their looks, the way they speak, and where they live. People spend more and more time at work pursuing finances, pursuing money to get rich at the expense of neglecting their family members. And when they look back, their family's not there anymore. People experience poverty because of greedy employers, spouses who neglected or are addicted to alcohol and drugs and gambling. And people experience pain and heartache of a divorce because of a spouse who is either abusive or unfaithful. This sounds all sad, but we do know in this life that there are all positive things also and joyful things that we can celebrate in life that are realities. But the truth is, this life is crazy. The reality is that we live in a world that is filled with loads of real experiences, real heartache. And the truth is that we need to deal with these realities on a day-to-day basis. Day in and day out, we have to deal with them. Now, in our passage this evening, we see Paul shows us that there are other realities that we need to be aware of. The consequences of our sinful nature. And the fact that we are sinful, we see that it can have devastating effects on our relationship with God now and for eternity. So let's look at them briefly this evening. Paul shows us that the first reality in our passage this evening that's before us, that because of our sin, we will desire to hear what we want to hear. Have a look at verses 3 and 4. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers so to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. See, Paul says that there will come a time where people will be doing three things. They will reject God's authoritative word. This is the scriptures that we have before us. They will search for teachers to tell them what their ears want to hear. And they will turn their ears away from God's word and turn to myths, to the words of fallen and broken people. So in other words, these people will substitute God's special revelation about himself and about his son that we find in his word for false teaching. You see, false teaching, brothers and sisters, is very dangerous because it won't add anything to our eternal life or has no eternal value to us as Christians. It won't help us know and love God better. And it won't help us to see our need for God's grand salvation plan through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now you see, this pursuit for false teaching is nothing new. Throughout history, we see that there are seasons where God's people come in and out of this and they do these things following after false teaching. In the Old Testament, we read in Jeremiah chapter 5 verse 30 and 31 that the Israelites were not immune to rejecting God's word and accepting false teaching. Listen to what God says to Jeremiah about his own people. A horrible and shocking thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophesy lies. The priests rule by their own authority. and my people love it this way. You see, the Israelites were more interested in something different, some sensational things that they wanted to listen to, and not accepting God's revealed revelation through Jeremiah. More than just being interested in this false teaching, we see that God says these words about his people, that they love it, that they love false teaching. Now today, nothing has changed. Because when we look around us, we see that our generation isn't immune to this type of behavior and disobedience, because they love false teaching too. Browsing on social media, through bookstores, speaking to our family members and friends, we come across many Christians and non-Christians who suppress, ignore, reject, and substitute God's word by following false teaching so that they can entertain their selfish desires and their wants. Do we see that around us day to day? You see, at every corner, there is a false teacher, preacher, willing to tell people what their itching ears want to hear. And not only am I just going to talk about these false teachers, I'm not going to go out there and bash them, boom, boom. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to name and shame people. Because you know what God says in his word? That he will judge pastors and preachers sternly by what they preach about him from his word. But what I do want to say to you this evening is that we need to be aware of our sinful desires, to hear what we want to hear, but rather we must be ready to hear what we need to hear. Listen again. We need to be aware of our sinful desires, to hear what we want, but instead we need to want to hear what we need to hear. We must be careful of televangelists who preach a health, wealth, and prosperity gospel. Pastors who claim special revelation. You see, all what they are doing to people, to God's created people, to you and me, all they want to do is lead people away from knowing God better and loving him more. And what they also do is that they play with the heartstrings of people, telling them what the itching ears want to hear so that they can have a great following. The question I want us to ask ourselves this evening, are we in the same boat as these people who have itching ears and run after false teaching to please our sinful desires? You see, if we are honest with ourselves and our answer is yes, then this passage this evening must challenge us and must encourage us to stop watching, reading, accepting, and following what these false teachers are teaching and throwing out there in the world. And we need to turn back God's people to God's special revelation that comes in his word and from his word. The second reality this evening that Paul shows us from this passage is that because of our sin, death is imminent for everyone. Have a look at verse 6. For I am ready, already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. You see, by using these words, what Paul is implying is that his death was looming. It was close, it was near. And so according to many theologians and reliable writings, we know that Paul's death was imminent. We know that his death was looming, it was right there. Because you see, what we know from these writings, from these theologians, that Paul didn't experience a death that was fit for a king, or a beautiful memorial service that we are accustomed to. In fact, he faced a horrible and gruesome death, which was only fit for a criminal. Paul was beheaded. And although this was the way that Paul departed from this physical world, in verses 7 and 8, he could confidently tell us about the glorious prize that awaits him. Have a look at what he says in those verses. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. And now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Here we see that Paul has shown us what it looks like to be a faithful minister and witness for God. By faithfully fighting the good fight, standing firm on the gospel, finishing the race strong and not giving up, and keeping the faith by guarding the gospel, Paul could confidently say that he has received and will receive a crown of righteousness from the righteous judge, from Jesus Christ himself. A crown that is given by Jesus, declaring that Paul was right with God, accepted and loved by God, and an inheritor of eternal life. You see, Paul was very clear in his writings that his faithfulness to God was because of God's faithfulness to him. See, God was so faithful to him to give him the strength to endure in the midst of suffering. We know Paul's life. We know that he was beaten and kicked out of Jerusalem. And then he got up and went in again. We know those things whenever he went around. He endured suffering because God helped him. God was faithful to him. And by knowing this, we see Paul knew that death was inevitable for him. That's why he said those words. And he knew that his death would lead to eternal life. You see, friends, brothers and sisters, death is inevitable. So whether you're the most powerful president, most influential person in the world, the fittest person, the healthiest person that goes on way less in the world, or even if you are an apostle like Paul, every single person in this world will face death. We can't hide from it, and we can't turn our back on it. We can't run away from it. Every single person in this world must face death. And the reason for this is because of what happened in Genesis chapter 3. You see, when sin entered the world through Adam and Eve, when they didn't listen to God, but rather listened to what they wanted to hear from Satan, the unfortunate thing that happened to every single one of us is that we, as their descendants, we have been included in this whole thing of sin. We have been affected and stained by sin. And the consequences of our sin means that we will and we must face death. And not just any kind of death. Because we think death is just a physical thing that happens in this world and we go on. The death that we will face, the kind of death, is eternal separation from God. So death is imminent for everyone. And when it happens, Jesus, the righteous judge, who will judge the living and the dead, will judge the living and the dead, So death is imminent, and Jesus, the righteous judge, will judge the living and the dead. And this is what I wanted to say. We got to ask ourselves these questions. Are we ready for that day? Are we confident, or can we be confident like Paul and say that we will receive a crown of righteousness on that day when we're with our Lord and Savior? You see, these two realities, to desire to hear what we want to hear, and death is imminent for everyone, tells us that we are in a very, very sticky situation, a hopeless situation, actually, because our sin is so deeply rooted in us. And you see, if we attempt to try and fix our problem, fix these realities, these two things, we will hopelessly fail at every attempt. Because everything that we do is polluted and rotten and marred by sin. Paul reminds us of this truth in Romans chapter 3, verses 10 and 12, when he wrote these words. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They together have become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. A hopeless, hopeless situation that we're in. But there is hope, people. Because when we look closer to 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul shows us that we can overcome these realities. Have a look at verse 2. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Paul says to Timothy and us that it is only through constant or the continuing preaching of God's word that will help us overcome these realities. He says it's only through sitting under faithful and sound biblical teaching that we will have the right view and understand who God really is, what His will is for our life, and His grand plan of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, once we understand and apply these biblical teachings with the help of the Holy Spirit, then we will have the strength to stop letting our itching ears wandering off to false teaching and myths. And we will be able to trust that Jesus is God's only plan of salvation for the world, and is the only plan of salvation that will rescue us from our eternal separation from God. So friends, it is easy to get sidetracked as a Christian, because this side of heaven, we are still tainted by sin. And this is why it is very important for us to rely on the power and the work of the Holy Spirit through faithful and biblical teaching, so that we will be able to discern what is biblical truth and what is not. So that we can be grounded in our knowledge and our understanding and the application of God's word. So that we can keep our eyes on the prize, on the crown of righteousness that we will one day receive by our Lord Jesus Christ. And that we will never forget that the only way to God is through our Lord Jesus Christ. That Jesus is the only one that can save us. So if you're a Christian this evening, then I encourage you to do these three things. Not five, three things. Three things. First, be like the Bereans in Acts chapter 17, verses 10 to 12, who weighed up every word that was preached to them by Paul and Silas against scripture to make sure that what they were saying was truly the words of God and not of man. Be like the Bereans. Search the scriptures when you hear it being preached to you. Secondly, pray continually for your pastors to preach God's word faithfully and truthfully wherever they go and wherever, whenever, wherever, with great patience and careful instructions that they will give out to us. And lastly, don't just be fooled into thinking that it's only your pastor's duty and his vocation, his work, to actually understand God's word alone and tell us what it actually says. You see, the Bible is for everyone. And we learned that last week in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Therefore, it's everyone's responsibility to read God's word, to understand God's word, and to apply God's word to our lives to ensure that when we hear the Bible being preached and proclaimed, we will know that it's truth. If you are not a Christian, then I urge you and I encourage you to listen to God's word and don't follow what your itching ears would like to hear. Don't do that. God's word is sometimes hard to understand and hear. I understand that. It is hard. But then again, everything that is worth it in this life is hard. We know that. So listen to God's word, because you and I need Jesus. We need Jesus to forgive us for our sins. We need God so that we can be accepted by Him, and that we can receive the crown of righteousness one day. And so if you're going to do this, you will have the wonderful, wonderful privilege of knowing that your past, your present, your future sins have been forgiven. And it's been forgiven. And one day you will have eternal life in heaven with your King and Savior. And here's the one thing also, if you don't know Jesus and you do accept Him, is that while you wait for Jesus, if you want to know how to understand God's word, this is what will happen. When you receive Jesus and you are waiting for Him to return or take you home, we know as a Christian you have God's Spirit living in you. And God's Holy Spirit will help you discern what is biblical teaching so that you can know God better and love Him more. And finally, this is to all the pastors, the preachers who stand behind this lectern or pulpit. Let us continue out, my brothers, to rely on the power and the work of the Holy Spirit when we are preaching and preparing God's word. And let us also work hard and put in the necessary hours so that we can faithfully live out our God-given calling that we see in verse 2. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Let us pray.